News Radio 1120 KPNW. Thanks for being with us. Well, as you probably well know, Governor Brown yesterday shuttered public schools K through 12 through the rest of the year. And that has a lot of people scrambling, school districts, schools, parents, scrambling to try and figure out how their kids are going to get educated, and a move sort of online with many of these schools. And it seems as though most of our public schools have been caught completely flat-footed by this. Well, maybe they could learn from one local area Catholic school, and that would be Marist. And joining us on the wake-up call this morning, it is Suzanne Graff. She is the president there at Marist High School, and she joins us on the wake-up call. Suzanne. Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. I hope you are as well today.
Yeah, doing fine, as well as could be expected. At least it's nice looking out the window. So a lot of school districts scrambling to try and figure out how they're going to do this online learning thing. And in some ways, the governor and our Department of Education has kind of given up on the rest of the year for high school seniors, saying, well, if you had passing grades before going into this, you're just going to graduate. How is Marist dealing with this?
Well, fortunately, or unfortunately, I don't know which way it goes, we've been preparing for digital learning or for several years, practicing digital learning days with our students and our teachers. And actually, it started with planning for extended weather closures. Never in our wildest dreams did we expect that it would become to this extent. Mm-hmm. But that preparation has helped us to be able to continue with a remote learning plan. And so our students have continued to be engaged and learning since March 16th, which was the first day that all of our schools were closed. And we launched seamlessly into that plan and have continued to be able to keep our students engaged. Of course, you know, it's not the same, but providing the opportunity for some sense of normalcy for our students, maintaining a sense of community, and helping them to continue to be engaged in learning and hopefully, you know, for a period of time every day, helping to take their minds off of what's going on in the world and how it's impacting their lives so greatly.
Okay, so you said that you've been doing this for several years, and it came out of a way to deal with weather closures and, you know, other unforeseen things. I mean, you periodically hear that, you know, a water main has broken at a school, and so they need to close it down for a few days while they clean up the carnage. How long have you had this system in place that if you had an extended closure, maybe a week and a half. How long have you had this plan in place and operational?
We have been practicing a digital learning day since the first big snowstorm or ice storm that we had in 2017. Our students do have iPads for learning that are provided by the school. And so we saw it as an opportunity to practice digital learning days in the event that a long-term weather and closure happened. And so 1 or 2 days a year, a school year, are designated specifically for that, where our students and families know ahead of time that it's declared a digital learning day and all of the classes are conducted online and attendance is taken. So we've been doing that since 2017 for the last 3 years, and it just enabled us to take a plan that was for one day and to say, okay, how are we going to do this for an extended period of time? Not without a little bit of bumps along the way, but we were just fortunate to be able to have already that level of a plan in place.
It's amazing to me, You know, particularly because we always hear, and in the cases of where you may have an extended, like, for instance, last March, where you, not this last March, but March of last year, where, you know, we had extended closures in the discussion. Well, where are we going to make this up? Are we going to make it up? And so on. You know, and particularly in Oregon, where this happens on a fairly regular basis, I'm kind of surprised that this isn't something that has been adopted in more public schools. I mean, doesn't that surprise? I'm not trying to get you to dog on public schools, but aren't you a little surprised that this hadn't already been done elsewhere?
I do know that there are some school districts that are prepared, more prepared than others. I will say that it is a huge undertaking, whether it's for, you know, a school of 500 students or for a massive school district of, you know, tens of thousands of students. And, you know, my heart goes out to all of our fellow educators in the public schools who are, you know, scrambling to try to make something like this happen. It's not easy. And the additional challenge, you know, I recognize in making sure that digital learning is accessible for all students, that is a huge undertaking as well.
Joining us on the wake-up call, it is the president of Marist Catholic School, Suzanne Graff, joining us on the wake-up call. You know, one of the things that's a big part of the year is the Mr. Spartan pageant, which is a fundraiser for the Children's Miracle Network. How are you guys, I mean, are you still going to do that? Are you going to do it in a digital way? What's the game plan?
Well, you know, until the governor's announcement yesterday afternoon, we were still remaining hopeful, and always, not just the Mr. Spartan pageant, but graduation ceremonies and things like that. So we simply were working on a plan for rescheduling. That has changed, obviously, for the Mr. Spartan pageant in particular. And we're, you know, back at the table saying, okay, now what? There could be something that we can do digitally. Online, some type of a virtual event, but we will find a way to continue to do as best we can those traditions that have become such an important part of our school community and is the same for many of our schools in our area.
I guess the thing that, you know, looking at this, I mean, you don't really think about it as you're going through it, but there are so many different events and so many different things that happen at a school. You know, you talk like, for instance, the Mr. Spartan, that you think of all the different, you know, the choirs and different competitive events outside of just sports, whether it be, you know, the speech team or, you know, FBLA or FFA. I mean, there's so many different things that, you know, trying to sort those out and keep those programs going under the circumstances logistically could be a little bit of a nightmare.
It could be, yes. But thank goodness for technology. And I don't know about you, Bill, but I just keep thinking, you know, what if this had happened 20 years ago? The, you know, mm-hmm. The ease with which education is continuing to happen, the ease with which many people, fortunately, are, you know, still able to work from home. We know that our community is greatly impacted by those who are not. But there are so many things that we are still able to do because of technology. And as I keep telling our staff and our community, you know, that we will continue to do things. It will look differently. It won't be the same, but the reasons that we do them continue to be the same. And, you know, doing something like a Mr. Spartan, it maybe won't be a pageant, maybe it will be something different, but something that brings our community together and helps to celebrate community and to do something for our greater community, for the, you know, for the health of those babies in the NICU, all of those, you know, we just have to think differently. We're being forced to think outside the box.
Well, I'm glad that you guys, I mean, for the kids that go there, I mean, kudos to you folks over there for thinking out of the box a few years ago and deciding that you wanted to move in this direction in case of, you know, school closures. Kudos on you. We're going to have to wrap it up. We're out of time, but I want to tell you, when you get around to the Mr. Spartan pageant, however you're going to do that, let us know and we'll help you get the word out.
Thank you so very much. Thanks for the opportunity to visit with you this morning, Bill.
It was a pleasure having you on. Suzanne Graff from Marist Catholic School on the wake-up call this morning and how they're dealing with COVID. And that is, they're implementing a plan they already had in place. That's pretty much a wrap for us. I want to throw one shout out because Sue wrote this morning, 1120kpnw@gmail.com. Bill and Rob wanted to give a shout out to a wonderful pizza place in Monroe called Benny's Pizza Joint. They make a super pizza and they're trying to stay open utilizing the takeout. Super nice people. Your avid listener from Monroe, Sue. Well, good on Benny's and throwing out a plug for the local area Monroe Pizza Parlor.
And just a reminder, we talked to Alan Benavides with the Eugene M's. They're getting together with the U of O and also Kendall Cares. And their food/blood drive is today at the Moe Center, 93. If you go to the Eugene M's website, you can find out how to get information on how to make the appointment. And then I'll just throw in a quick, and that's 10 to 3 today at the Moe Center. Then there's also the PPE Razor, which we'll talk about tomorrow, but that's going on at Kendall Toyota, happening Saturday. So two different events, but very helpful. That's it for us.
Bye.
Friday show tomorrow, 6:05. You be there. We'll be here.